Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Steve Huffman. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at the church. Good to see everybody this morning. If you're joining online, hello to you as well. I'm going to be in the book of Acts today. Book of Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to land. While you're getting there, you can use a paper Bible, you can use your phone. We'll have scripture on the screen as well. But while you're getting there, I want to ask this question. Are you ready for a question already? Here's the question. How easy is it for you to ask for help? Usually that elicits a few feelings. Right? If you're married, you could have gotten a poke. Maybe it's not easy for you to ask for help. Right? For me, sometimes it's a struggle as well. It reminded me of, I saw this clip from a television show from 2015. It wasn't a television show that they played in the United States. Maybe you've seen it before. I'll set it up a little bit. It's the show called Master Chef. So it's the typical, right, cooking show where people are invited on and they cook stuff for whatever prize. And there was a young chef that was invited to the show. Her name is Elisa Fernandez. This is Elisa. And she, on the show, was getting ready to cook some, I don't even know what it was, some challenge. But in the challenge, it required jam. And so she had to open this bottle of jam. It wouldn't open. And so this is Elisa, right? She's struggling to get this jar open while other chefs around her just running around, getting their jam opened. But Elisa's right, she's struggling. So what do you do when you can't get that? You grab a towel. Maybe your hands are wet. You grab it, and she's doing that thing. And for whatever reason, I do not know, she grabs a butcher knife. Does anybody ever do that? You use a knife on a stuck jar? Does that work? It does not work. Don't do that, right? It didn't work for her, so she puts this knife down. You can see because the rest of the chefs are making great progress, and she is stuck, doesn't know what to do. And so in this moment, what she does is she actually runs to the audience, finds her dad, takes the jar, gives it to her dad. This is a picture of her dad. In this feat of strength, right, in like 3 seconds, he opens the jar, gives it back to her, and she continues on, even though that, right, she's behind at this point, but she actually comes from behind, wins the competition, right? Sort of a heartwarming story of asking for help. So for some of us, right, we should ask for help, like Elisa did. Did you know that we have the greatest helper of all time, the Holy Spirit? Right? It's a spiritual shift, but it's something that we should deeply consider. In the Bible, when you read the Bible, the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit shows up so frequently. Actually, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper. He's really clear about this. Jesus is teaching people around him, and he's dropping these hints that the Holy Spirit's coming, and he says this in John 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you, be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He goes on, he's talking to the same group, talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, but the advocate, notice that word shows up, advocate. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. That's a broad statement, isn't it? He's going to teach you everything. And remind you of everything I've said to you. Jesus calls him the advocate. You could go home later and look up in a dictionary what advocate is. I'm not doing any like religious deep study on the Greek, but the definition of advocate is one who helps, counselor, comforter, encourager, mediator. The Holy Spirit is one who helps. If we're going to ask for help from anyone, we should be asking it from the one that God sent us, the one who helps, the advocate, the Holy Spirit. It's kind of interesting when you look at the way Jesus describes the Holy Spirit. He actually continues in John 7. He says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, look, just imagine this picture. Rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Jesus gives this image, right? Okay, you're going to get an advocate, and he gives this sort of mental imagery. The advocate you're going to get is like rivers of flowing water from you. Not just one river, like rivers. Like that's an overflowing picture of the help that we can get from the Holy Spirit. So just another question. In our lives, whether you're quick to ask for help or not, but in our lives, where could I use help from the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you just a second to think about that. Where could you use some help from the greatest advocate the world has ever known? Do you have an area? Here's what Jesus is telling us. There's an advocate, and there's an advocate to such a degree that he will give you overflowing help. And I believe we're living in a time where we could use more help from the Holy Spirit. His overflowing help. I want to remind us that we're in this series. The series is titled Overflow, where we're looking at the things in Scripture that it says either God is overflowing for us or some description of God or other things that are overflowing. And I can't get through a series like this without talking about the Holy Spirit. You just can't, because he is the best help ever. And so I want to look at a section of Scripture that has captured me in the last few weeks. In the book of Acts, it's Acts chapter 4. I've read this section of text before, but there's something different that stuck out. I need to set it up a little bit before I read it. Peter and John, two of the disciples, they were going around talking about Jesus, right? It's sort of undeniable. They hung out with Jesus for 3 years, saw some of the greatest things anyone could ever see, and so naturally they're talking about it. They go to the temple and they're talking about it. And they're talking about how Jesus was raised from the dead. That's offensive to some people. Some people are like, no, nobody gets raised. And they were just, you know what? Jesus did all those things and he was raised from the dead. It created this commotion. It was really more of a commotion. It was a whole bunch of people, and it was creating problems for the leaders of the day. And so the leaders, like, they capture these two disciples. And essentially, they're like, hey, listen, you cannot talk about Jesus the way you're talking about him. You need to stop. And if you don't, right, they threaten them with other things. And at the end of that account, Peter and John were like, no, we're still going to. And they walk back to the group of believers that they had been with before they got captured. And this is where we're going to pick up the account. At verse 23, it says this, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So this is their prayer. Like, just imagine a group of people, they're like hearing this story and they're going to pray this prayer. It says, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And then they go in, you should read this, the rest of this prayer, it's kind of a long one. They talk about how David had already predicted this would happen, and it bounced down to verse 29, they continue with the prayer, they said, Now Lord, consider their threats, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In there, I'm finding, specifically in the last 2 weeks, I'm finding a couple of things that are changing the way I think about the help of the Holy Spirit. Before I talk about these two, let's pray for a second. When we pray, I want you to think about that area that you could use help in. Are you thinking about it? Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we need you. We so need you. We're not equipped or built in this life to live life without you. We need you. And so would you open our hearts, our minds, our ears to this text that you've drawn us to today. So help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I see in the text. You can write this down. Overflowing help from the Holy Spirit often requires an openness to partnership. and open us to partnership. So Peter and John get released. They go back to the believers and they begin their prayer with this, which I think is kind of astounding. The prayer is, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Enable your servants. They're part of, they're including themselves in the action of the prayer. I don't know about you, but I find this, it just captured me differently, because so many times when I think about my prayer life, I'm trying to direct the activity of God, like I'm some conductor in the symphony of God's activity, and I'm telling him what to do. So in this situation, maybe if I was there, I would be like, "Okay, God, you go figure that situation out. Like, I'm not going back to the temple until you figure that out. You go deal with the leaders." But that's not the way they pray. Their prayer is, "Enable your servants, enable me to go speak the word boldly." Just a reminder, if we go back to the definition of who the Holy Spirit is one who helps. Does he do stuff? Absolutely, but he's the one who helps. Helps who? Helps us. While God could do anything on his own, he does amazing things. So many times in Scripture, when you're reading about the Holy Spirit showing up, he's showing up to help the person do something they couldn't do on their own. This was convicting for me. Actually, yesterday morning, I walked through, I have a prayer list of things that I pray for fairly regularly. Right now, it's a list of 40 things, which seems like a lot, but I can manage it pretty well. And so I walked through this list yesterday, but I walked through it differently. I walked through it, instead of being a conductor in God's symphony, I walked through it as if I was a participant in the symphony of God's activity. God, how can you enable me to help in this situation? It's really convicting. Like, for some of the things, it was, okay, right, that's halfway across the world. I'm not sure how much I can help, so God, are you really going to need to show up? Because I'm not there. But in many of the others, like one in particular, I was praying and just considering, okay, God, how could you enable your servant to help in this? And my reaction, I think I even said it out loud, is, I don't know if I have enough patience for that. To which the Lord said, "I know. I know you really well. Yes, you do not have enough patience." You know what the good thing is? The Holy Spirit has enough patience. You know, when we realize that we don't have enough of what it takes and we're calling out to the Holy Spirit for help, he shows up and makes up the difference. This is not a new list for you, right? But if we have the Holy Spirit in us, if we believe in Jesus, if he's the Lord of our life, if we're baptized, we get the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit inside of us, we now have fruit that grows because of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience. That's what I needed, still need. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit inside of us bearing fruit in our lives. So I don't have to muster up patience. I don't have to do a 12-step exercise to get more patience in my life. I just get close to God, rely on the Holy Spirit, and he will bear the fruit of patience in my life. He'll make up that difference. Does that make sense? Yes. Not only does he give us fruits of the Holy Spirit, he actually can empower us through some interesting other gifts. They're listed in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit," when the Spirit shows up, he can show up in power, "is given for the common good." Everybody say common good. So the Holy Spirit can show up in our lives in a manifestation of power. And Paul goes on to write what these are. This is a list. I won't read the scripture, but here's a list of all the things that the Holy Spirit could show up and give you power with: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. We don't talk about this list in a lot on the weekends, but these are things that are still alive and active today. Let me say that again. These are things that are still alive and active today. The Holy Spirit can show up in your life and deposit one of these at a time of need when we call out to him. So what are these things? I'll just do a quick review. Wisdom. God could give you wisdom. In the book of Exodus, there's an account of a man named Bezalel. And this guy in Exodus chapter 31, it says, the Lord says, I filled him with the Spirit of God. So he's got the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, filled with the Spirit of God. And what does Bezalel do? He's filled with the wisdom to craft things so beautiful that they put them in the temple. So all of the accoutrements, the table, the tabernacle, he's the one who wrapped it, built it, wrapped it with gold, made it beautiful, because God gave him the wisdom to do that. Wisdom, knowledge is the second one. God can deposit knowledge. Acts, I think it's chapter 9, there's a guy named Ananias. In a vision from God, Ananias hears this. Ananias, go to Straight Street. That's pretty specific. And when you get there, you're going to find a guy named Paul and tell him some stuff. He gets knowledge. He's not sure how it's going to work out, but he gets some knowledge from the Holy Spirit through a vision, and he goes and follows up on that. Great things happen. The Holy Spirit can give us faith to do things that we never thought that we could have faith to do, but we step into it. So when you came to know Christ, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, whatever your name is, there's something better. And in faith, you step out and say, I'll do that. I'll get baptized. I'll, whatever it is, fill in the blank. You read the New Testament, and people pray for others, and there's healing, and there's miracles. Those are alive and active today. Those are not dead. Holy Spirit still does those things today. Prophecy, that's an interesting one. What is prophecy? Here's what Paul says it is. The one who prophesies speaks to people for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Do you think that we're living in a world today that needs to hear more things that are strengthening, encouraging, and comforting? I do. Guess who has those? The Holy Spirit. Go back to the list. Distinguishing spirits. Wouldn't it be helpful? Because I still believe that Satan is real and there's a demonic realm and it's trying to steal all the good things that we have. Wouldn't it be helpful when you walked into a room if you felt like, man, something's not right in this room, where you could say, no, in the name of Jesus, whoever that is, whatever it is trying to disrupt me, get out. That'd be powerful. Tongues. That's a weird one, right? We see it in the book of Acts right at the beginning, where people were somehow supernaturally given the ability to speak in another language that other people could understand. There's even reference to speaking in a language that only God can understand. And then there's an interpretation gift of that. See, here's the point. You can write this in. The Holy Spirit has more than enough to make up for my shortfalls. The Holy Spirit has way more than enough to make up for our shortfalls. I was thinking earlier, even the things that I was praying for on my prayer list or some of the challenges in my life, that while that list might seem a little wacky to some, there's nothing in the list that I just went through or the gifts of the Spirit that could not answer the thing that we need. And if you go back to our text today, the believers were all praying, and they actually prayed for some of that. One of the prayers was, stretch out your hand, heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Their answer wasn't just, Holy Spirit, you go do that activity. Their answer in the prayer was, empower us to speak boldly and to pray for the sick and heal them so they know, God, who you are. And challenged me with this question. Maybe it'll challenge you. Are my prayers help your servant or God go do this? Too often my prayers are God go do this, and then I don't see the power of the Holy Spirit show up because he's waiting to be a partner and help me. So overflowing help from the Holy Spirit often requires openness to partnership. Are we open to partner? The other thing I see when we go to the text If we want an overflowing help from the Holy Spirit, it often requires stepping forward with confidence. You can write that down. Stepping forward with confidence. So the believers pray, right? God, empower us to speak with boldness. Use us to pray for miracles and healing and allow that to happen. And then after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. That'd be pretty cool. But it goes on. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, I want to give you insight just a few chapters later, just a chapter later, of actually what is happening. So they pray this prayer. The ground is shaken, and then they walk. This is Acts chapter 5. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs, wonders among the people. All the believers were meeting regularly in the temple in an area known as Solomon's Colonnade. Pause. Don't read anymore. So just imagine this for a minute. You're praying. You just heard that two of your friends were captured, and they were told not to talk about Jesus. And what do? You pray. The ground shakes, which is awesome, and then you walk back to the temple, the very place that you were told not to go. And where do you go? You go to Solomon's Colonnade. Solomon's Colonnade was a place in the temple that people would debate religious matters, which meant many people were there. Like, you're starting to create the very thing that Peter and John were thrown in imprisonment for. And it continues. But no one else dared join them because they were afraid. Through all the people had high regard for them, yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. You think that there was not a crowd? I mean, it had to be packed. People were coming because the word was spreading. But I don't want to miss something in the midst of this. As I was thinking about this in their prayer, right, give us the courage to go speak your word boldly. After this prayer, the ground shook. We don't see that God reached down with some hand, grabbed them by the scruff of the neck, and drug them into the temple, and then started like a puppet using them through God's hand, right? God didn't force them to do that. They did that out of a level of confidence that God is going to show up. Go back to the story I started with, the silly story about MasterChef and Elisa, right? Elisa, jar stuck. She goes to her father, advocate, to help. Father opens the jar. Elisa doesn't then invite her father to go cook the meal. She still has to cook it. She still has to take the jar of jam, even though she's behind, and have enough confidence to cook the meal by herself, even though there was some help from her dad. Right? With Holy Spirit activity, there still takes a level of confidence that we need to step out into, believing that he will make up our differences. Another example in the Bible, Old Testament, a guy by the name of Gideon. He's a unique character. He says that he's the least in his tribe. He's the guy that if there were a battle, you wouldn't choose him. But yeah, in Judges chapter 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. The Spirit of the Lord. So now we've got the Holy Spirit clothing Gideon in power and telling Gideon, hey, Gideon, you're going to go, you're going to fight this huge battle. And Gideon's like, nope, I don't want to do it. Right? You should read the account. It's this masterful account of Gideon not believing in himself, even though he's been clothed with power by the Holy Spirit. Finally, he's like, okay, I'm going to do this. And Gideon gathers 70,000 other men to go into this battle. Like, those are good numbers. And then Lord's like, nope, you're not going with 70,000. You're going to go with a couple hundred. You know how much confidence it would have taken Gideon to say, okay, But he gets it. He gets the confidence, and he goes, and they actually win the battle. Partnership with the Holy Spirit often, if not always, takes confidence to take the next step in faith. Here's the reality. You can write this down. Without courage to act boldly, we risk missing God's answer. Without the courage to act boldly, to actually believe that the Holy Spirit's going to show up and make our differences, we might actually miss the very thing that we want to happen. And it actually got me wondering how many times I've missed it. And it got me wondering how many times we've all missed it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it that often. Like, I actually want to see the power of the Holy Spirit around me. Reminded me of four examples that are somewhat recent that's happened. One, a guy by the name of Jacob, for the first time, he's never done this before, he works at a business here in town, a large business. He gathered a few people around and prayed for one of his staff members that their family was dealing with a new diagnosis. He had never prayed with the people that he worked for before. Took an act of boldness to pray and pray for healing. Like, he wanted to see, like, he knew he didn't have all the answers anymore, so he's just going to do it. Another person, just this last week, went to a retreat, and through a prayer, felt like the Holy Spirit prompted them to a complete career change. And so they stepped out in that. That's a big deal. I met with somebody this last Wednesday who described, they said the night before they were at home and felt what they described as a nudge. Just felt a nudge, like I needed to go to this one particular meeting. It was not a church. I need to go to this one. I don't know why. He said something like, it. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But he goes to this meeting, and another person, for their first time, this other person shows up at this meeting, and the interaction could have huge implications on that person's life because he showed up and he followed the nudge of the Holy Spirit. I was at a conference, last one, I was at a conference 2 years ago. At the end of this conference, somebody stood up, sort of this bold declaration, and they said, hey, anybody with Raynaud's disease, I think we're just supposed to pray for that. I don't know if you know what Raynaud's is. It's a condition usually during winter when your fingers get cold that one of them turns white. It looks like a dead finger. It's kind of gross. I had that. I say had that because 2 years ago I went up front. I was like, what in the world is that? That's crazy. Went up. They prayed for me. I've not had any of my fingers turn white, look dead for 2 years. It took someone in confidence to say, I don't know why, but I think I hear this, and I think we're supposed to pray for it. I don't know about you, but I think we need the overflowing help of the Holy Spirit more than we realize. We were never designed to do life without the Holy Spirit's help. Let me say that again. Think about the area of life you thought you needed the Holy Spirit. We were not designed to figure it out on our own. We don't have the strength. We don't have the power. We don't have the insight. And unless we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit's activity, we will miss the very best things in life. We need the overflowing help of the Holy Spirit, which means we need to have openness to partnership, and we need to be able to step forward in confidence. So we're going to end a little bit different this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand. You can go ahead and stand. Earlier, I was in the back of the auditorium, and I was asking, it was a simple prayer. God, is there anything you want me to pray for this morning, specifically for this service? And I've invited Andrew and Sam, I don't know if you guys got anything, to do the same, just to ask, God, is there anything that you think we should pray for? And so here's what I heard. And when I say heard, it was just a thought, like the first thought that crossed my mind. Gastrointestinal issues, specifically piercing pain. If that's you, before you leave from service today, I just want to pray for you. What if the Holy Spirit's inviting himself into helping that situation? And so I just want to pray for you at the end of service before you leave. If you have gastrointestinal issues, piercing pain.
Yeah, at the top of the message, Steve shared a story about a woman named Elisa who asked for help from her dad during the jar thing. I actually had heard that name during worship, and I was just praying for someone named Elisa. But I think it was the Holy Spirit prompting, pay attention during that part of the talk, that name Elisa. And I think the invitation might be, if someone has been hurt by someone named Elisa, because you look to them for some sort of specific help, and they didn't have the help that you hoped for from them, that the Lord wants to heal that hurt. So am I talking to anybody specific there? Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to pray for you for a sec. Lord, thank you for that specific word of knowledge that you see that hurt and that you want to heal it. Lord, I believe your invitation, your help for that hurt is that you are the partner, you are the help that that person needs. So I pray that they would turn to you, turn from any bitterness, unforgiveness toward that person, that they would release that and receive the help that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mine's a little more generic. It's not as specific to one person. I felt like there's probably some people in the room who you've been hearing this message, knowing that we need the Holy Spirit's help, and you're thinking about situations in your life, and you're like, I don't have what it takes. I just don't have what it takes. And I felt like God specifically said, like in that moment that I heard those words, you don't. You don't have what it takes, which is weird to hear from the Lord, but it's also not. And I felt like it was an invitation from God to surrender and yield to his leadership. And so if you have specifically felt like, man, I've been thinking I don't have what it takes for this upcoming thing or this season, then I want to pray for a group of people. We're gonna do it over there. Thank you. We're going to do it over there in that corner. I'll pray for that group of people, if it's one or if it's 20. So
gastrointestinal issues, piercing pain over here. Andrew's got one over there. If you need prayer for anything else, come sit in the front row. Prayer team would love to pray for you. Let's pray in close. Father, we thank you that you would give us the Holy Spirit when we follow you. The best and most true and accurate help anyone could ever ask for. And so we just say, Holy Spirit, come. Guide us. God, we don't have enough for the world. We don't have enough for our problems. But God, you do. You make up our differences. And so we need you. So help us as we go. Help us as we go. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Change us the way we pray, that we would pray, God, that it would be empower me. Help me. Instead of us being a conductor to your activity. So help us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.